Call or text us with your breaking news stories and tips at 971-245-2158. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Dan Raphael, Josh Salem, and Eliza Yurkov. The producer is Eliza Yurkov. And our engineer is Ray Bodewell. Special thanks to Susan Potter, Eric Tegethoff, Alex Gonzalez, Mark Morin, Mike Moen, and Brian Bull. The director of Evening News is Althea Billings. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K2A2BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Zachary Jones-Naray.
And I'm Eliza Yurkov. All of our KBOO programs, including the Evening News, are supported by our wonderful members. If you would like to become a wonderful member and support our programming, you can go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. Stay tuned now for news in depth.
KBOO News in Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
You are listening to KBOO News in Depth. I'm Althea Billings. On Saturday, October 26th, the African American Alliance for Homeownership will hold its 25th annual Homeownership Fair in Portland. It's an opportunity to educate people and increase homeownership for African Americans and other underserved people. I spoke with Cheryl Roberts, the executive director of the African American Alliance for Homeownership, to learn more. So, what is the African American Alliance for Homeownership?
Well, gosh, that's a loaded question. So we are a community-based organization, and we are also a HUD-approved housing counseling agency. So our core, the core of our work is obviously getting people into homes, into homeownership. And we also help folks to retain their homeownership. So if they're suffering from job loss or, you know, just any kind of loss and unable to pay their mortgage, then we help and advocate for them to keep their homes.
Mm-hmm. And how long have you been, when did this organization start?
So we're actually getting ready to celebrate our 25th year of hosting a fair. And we actually started the fairs a couple years before we started programming. Mm. So we've been around for over 20 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Lots to do in that amount of time. Well, I understand that your group has an event coming up. What can you tell me about that?
Well, as I said, we're celebrating our 25th anniversary. We've hosted the fair every year since we decided to get together years ago at PCC on Killingsworth. I'll never forget. It was a time where everyone was concerned about the homeownership rate for African Americans. And at that time, it was the lowest in the nation. And so we wanted to do something here in the Portland area to bring that number up. And so that people could realize, of course, generational wealth. And at that time, people were losing their homes for a variety of reasons. And so we thought, you know, bringing together people in one setting, like I always like to refer to it as the one shop stopping center, like Fred Meyer, you know, one stop, you can get everything that you need from, you know, finding a lender to finding a realtor. And the home inspector and other resources to help you retain that home.
Well, that was going to be my next question. What can folks expect from this event that you have coming up on the 26th?
Mm-hmm. So they can expect a variety of vendors. Our vendors table with us. And this year, I think we have around, I know that our maximum is 35, and I think we're just about at max. So those vendors will include, again, realtors, lenders. We have folks that can talk about energy efficiency and retrofitting your home. So that includes home repair. It includes home inspector and insurance. So, and there's also agencies that have formed a collaboration or kind of like a charter to work together in helping, you know, keep homes affordable. So there's going to be a lot to offer. Our motto is, OZ motto is to help a person obtain, retain, maintain, and sustain homeownership. And so we do that through our programming.
Well, I was going to ask about the obtain, retain, maintain, and sustain, because those are, of course, interrelated, but there's, you know, important things to know about each one of those steps. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering, could we go through them? And
Sure.
Tell me a little bit about, let's start with obtaining.
The step of obtaining, and that is where we help you purchase a home. So what does that mean? That means that we can help you figure out what your budget is, what your affordability is, what are those resources if you have a gap, what are the resources that can help you, like down payment assistance. It could be a down payment assistance loan or grant. And of course, I favor grants.
That makes sense.
Yes. Yeah, or it could be, you know, a matter of, you know, working with a realtor that's really good at finding sellers that will pay some of your closing costs for you. So, you know, we just try to get creative and according to what you need.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the obtain part.
Yeah, and then retain.
Of course, is to, if you get into trouble, you know, let's find out if we can talk to your servicer to find out if we can maybe there's a program that works for you to help you get caught up on your mortgage, or maybe they can put the late payments at the back of the rear of your mortgage loan. But there's all kinds of ways to help you stay in your home. It could be reverse mortgage if you're older and you just, you know, you can't afford to go anywhere else. I mean, who can? That's the retention part that we have. We have counselors that are certified and trained foreclosure prevention counselors.
And then the next one is maintain.
Maintain. Okay. So what we found a lot of folks, because when you're in financial trouble or you're at a certain income, that, you know, maintaining your home could be difficult. If your furnace has gone out, well, it may sound easy. Oh, we'll call the furnace repair guy. But that furnace repair could cost you anywhere from $6,000 to $8,000, you know, just depending on the size of your house, the size of your furnace. So those are the kind of repairs that, you know, really bring what we call, you know, that burden, you know, that burden on the homeowner. And maybe they're on a fixed income and, you know, just can't afford that. Or maybe, you know, they don't have the credit to go out and get the loan to put on a new roof. So those are the kind of things that we find funding from, like we have funding from the state now, we have funding from the city of Portland to help with those types of repairs. And we call them deferred maintenance, because most people that, you know, have a home and, you know, they're basically, you know, living paycheck to paycheck. Anything outside of that paycheck can be devastating on the financial burden of the homeowner. So we try to help eliminate some of those burdens.
Yeah. And then what does it mean for your organization to help sustain homeownership?
So sustain means that, you know, you want to be, you know, keep your home up to par so that if you do sell, that it's, you know, that it's up to par so you can get the value. There's nothing worse than selling your home as is. I mean, you could lose anywhere from $200,000 to $300,000 just on the lack of maintenance. And then we have to look at the redlining that existed in Portland area too, where people, not only were they not giving loans to certain folks of color, they weren't giving loans to buy the homes. They were also not giving loans to maintain the home. And so we just try to help people, you know, with the sustainability, making sure that, you know, you stay on top of the maintenance. Don't let it defer. Don't, you know, find help, and we can usually help. And there's many organizations now that can help with those, you know, bring your home up to efficiency so that it's sustainable through the future. We also use, we have a free estate planning program because we found that people in the 90s and early 2000s lost their home because they did not have a will. So that can also be hurt a family, having no will, and the person passes and no one knows, and so the state takes over and they do what they, you know, do what they do best. And so that's another way that you can sustain your home, is to make sure you have a clear will.
Yeah.
A plan.
Well, I also wanted to ask, what role do you think that the African American Alliance for Homeownership plays in this current housing and affordability crisis that we're in right now? Is that something that is a part of your work?
Yes. Well, it's always been, because affordability is the key to working with the folks that we work with. And so that's always in the forefront of our programming and our intentions. So we, you know, it's really kind of difficult, but what we try to do is help people understand what that really means on their part too. You know, so you can't live, you know, have, you know, peanut butter, as we say, you know, peanut butter a paycheck, and then you live on, you know, Cadillac taste. Or you just can't do that. So, you know, live within your means, save money, don't spend money on, you know, designer clothes when you don't have a roof over your head. So, you know, we have to begin to help people to understand how to prioritize their money, and that so that they become better stewards over their funding. So that's one way we help, and that's through education and our counseling. The other part is to find funding. You know, get creative. Let's find some funding. Let's you know, if Mrs. Jones down the street is going into a retirement center and needs to sell her family home after 40 years, then maybe, you know, maybe she would love to, and that's happened, where she wants another little family, and so we can match her with a family. Mm-hmm. And that has happened as well. So that makes it affordable too, because Mrs. Jones says, I don't need $800,000. Just give me what I, you know, I'll want it, and whatever. And that could be a way to help, you know, bring affordability to a new family.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm curious, because the organization has been around so long, have you noticed any trends over the years?
Oh, gosh, lots of trends.
Well, okay, thinking about affordability then.
I think one of the trends is now that people think that land trust is putting a home into land trust as the answer. It could be, but there's, you know, you also, there's no cookie cutter approach. And most people, in particular, you know, people of color, African Americans, usually, you know, purchase a home for stability, not to buy and sell, not to look for financial gain. It's to keep their family in one place for the length of their time and hopefully pass it on to another heir that would do the same. And so I think that society forgets about that, or different powers to be forget that, you know, that is our motive. And so, you know, bringing in tools that really cut your generational wealth in half is not necessarily the answer that we're looking for. But it is a trend. So it's becoming a trend all over the country. But again, it just depends on the situation. That makes sense.
There's not one fix-all solution.
There's not one at all. And I think it's more just, you know, helping people to understand, become better stewards over their money. You know, a lot of folks could have purchased years ago, but they didn't, because we had, you know, we forget redlining was real. And it hurt. It hurt.
Yeah. You mentioned something that kind of goes down this road, but I'm curious if there are, you know, as you're educating people, are there common misconceptions that folks may have about the home buying process or where they fall into that?
Oh, always. We always say, don't count yourself out, because that's what people do. You know, I'll never be able to afford a home, but yet they rent. So if you rent, You know, and if, especially if you rent without subsidies, you can afford to buy something. And I think, too, that they think, you know, oh, this has to be my first and only home. It is great if that could happen, if you can do that, because as I just said, we don't buy and sell. But if you do need to purchase a home and gain equity and then use that equity to buy something even better that you really want and need for your family, so be it. There's nothing wrong with that either. But so again, the misconception is that I just can't afford to buy a home. Or I can't afford to buy the home that I want, which is usually, I always say, the Taj Mahal. But you have to work up to the Taj Mahal. So.
And there's a pathway there.
There's a pathway there. And it may be buying a condo and, you know, or buying a duplex and live on one side, rent the other. Oh, that's a no-brainer there. But we can't see that. Sometimes it's hard to see that. Mm-hmm. So we like to help people to visualize what that would look like.
Yeah. If our listeners are interested in finding out more about the African American Alliance for Homeownership or about your upcoming event on the 26th, where can they find that?
Well, listen to this broadcast, I guess. No.
It's a good start.
It's a good start. And then also, you know, go to our website, you know, www, and it's AAAH.org. And we're very easy to find. And we have a phone number, 503-595-3517. We are not AI. We believe in answering the phone. And we believe in talking to people and helping direct their steps. And if we don't answer, don't shoot us. Just call back.
There you go. Well, Cheryl, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today. I really appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate being here. Thank you, too, very much.
That was Cheryl Roberts, the Executive Director of the African American Alliance for Homeownership. Coming up on Saturday, October 26th, the organization will host its 25th annual Homeownership Fair at the DoubleTree by Hilton from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at 1000 Northeast Multnomah Street in Portland. More information is online at AAAH.org. This is KBOO News in Depth. I'm Althea Billings. Stay with us. Listening to KBOO News in Depth, I'm Althea Billings. I'm joined today by Laura Grimes, the Executive Director of Oregon Arts Watch, to talk about the latest and greatest in the local arts scene. Welcome to the show, Laura.
Thanks for having me, Althea.
Yeah, thank you for being here. Lots of stories to discuss today, but let's start with the art story that touches Portland politics. City Council and mayoral candidates responded to a survey about the arts and culture sector from Oregon Arts Watch. What did they have to say? Were there trends that emerged there?
Yeah, the whole process has been interesting. We received 47 responses out of 117 candidates, and that's a 40% rate of return, which was actually more than we expected. And this particular piece caps a whole election project that we have been working on for several months. We partnered with a dozen city arts leaders, and so the arts leaders created a brief that when we edited and posted online, and an opinion piece that talked about why this election matters, why these races for City Hall matter. It's a real historic completely remaking of City Hall, 14 open positions, which is a lot. So this finally, we have a story by Amanda Waldrup that talks about the results of our survey. Can read all of the results, and all of the races are listed: mayor, District 1, District 2, 3, and 4. And some of the, most of them had, were pretty supportive of the arts, as you would expect, because they were posting to an arts site, and they have read the Our Creative Future, which is a roadmap for engaging with the arts, developing policy and support for the arts for the city for the next several years. They talked about that, and they talked about what can be done to improve neighborhood vibrancy for the arts, how the culture is an important piece of that. And so you can read all the results there, all of our coverage there. It's been well received, and we're pretty happy with our efforts that were put together by several people. So happy with that.
So there was agreement then among those folks who responded about prioritizing arts and culture in Portland?
Yeah, for the most part. There are a lot of seismic decisions that are going to be made. They recently made a decision about the Keller Auditorium, for instance. They voted unanimously to revitalize the Keller itself, to renovate it, and to do a new venue at Portland State. So both of those things are happening. The Broadway touring shows will be able to still come to town, which generate a lot of income and jobs, and Portland Opera and Oregon Ballet Theater will still be able to perform in that bigger hall at Portland State while the Keller is closed for renovations. So, but overseeing that ongoing project, plus some people talked about how they wish the Our Creative Future plan could be more detailed, could have some more specifics, but that's sort of the job of the city council, is then to develop some of those ongoing policies that then support the arts. So yeah, the majority were in favor, but the whole goal of this project, which the arts leaders started to develop many, many months ago, like back in January, part of it was to raise awareness about the arts and the impact that it has on the city, that it's a huge economic driver, and also just our quality of life. So it was the whole project was developed to educate these candidates, a lot of them who will be new to City Hall, haven't had the experience or the background and the knowledge about the role that the arts play. So it was a chance to educate them, but also to inform the general public. So the whole process was an exercise, and we consider it a success by that standard.
Arts Watch also has two stories out this week about Portland Opera Togo's show, Shizaway. What is this opera about?
Yeah, Portland Opera has these what are called chamber operas. They're called Opera to Go, or their Pogo series. They develop them for children for the most part. So they go into a lot of schools. They're short, one act, 50-minute long operas with a very small cast, only four people. They have set design, really innovative set designs that have to be mobile and easy to move and then set up. They have to fit through a regular size door. And they develop these operas every year to be able to tour throughout the entire state. They go into small towns all over Oregon. They go into schools, but they also go into libraries and community centers and assisted living centers and wherever anybody will host them. And so this is just an amazing project that will take culture into communities that might not regularly have access to them. And the process of engaging children so that they develop this, they are our future audience members, you know, for them to be able to be exposed to these events is important to develop that sort of pipeline of audiences later and that appreciation for the arts. So this Pogo series, Alexis Hamilton heads up Portland Opera's what is she? She is the manager of education and community engagement. And she has this remarkable project that she has undertaken. It's called Our Oregon. And they are commissioning four of these operas, these smaller chamber operas, for the next, up until I think the last one debuts in 2028. So what they are is they're trying to find the underrepresented voices in Oregon history and to call attention to them. So 2 years ago, they did an opera call about Beatrice Morrow Kennedy, who was a notable Black woman here in Portland. And so this story is about Shizue, and I'll talk about Shizue. And then in 2026, they'll do one about the Latin community. And then after that, they'll do one on the somebody featured in the indigenous community. So Shizue had this remarkable story where she was an immigrant to Hood River. She came in 1916, and she had this fine art background where she had learned about Ikebana flower arranging, which is a Japanese form of flower arrangement, and tea ceremony and poetry. And she immigrated to Hood River, and she worked on a farm with her husband. They had 10 acres of an orchard. And so it was I imagine quite a cultural shock for her. And she had this resilience about her. The opera constantly, it talks about gaman, which is this idea of resilience in the face of hardship. And when the situation seems daunting and hard to overcome, you manage it with grace and resilience and fortitude. And Shizue's story tells that over and over again. Dime Lo Roberts wrote the libretto, researched the story, talked to Shizue's family members, and Kenji Oh wrote composed the music for it. And Shizue's story talks about how not only did she come and work on the farm, but then because of discriminatory land use laws, that land was taken away from them. They had to start over again. And then World War II came, and they were interned at Minidoka and a couple of other camps, and their property again was taken away from them, and then they had to start over yet again. And then her husband was injured in a tragic accident and paralyzed, and she had to take over the running the farm. And she had raised, four children, and she continued to, she became this notable figure in Hood River, this well-respected community member. She taught classes in tea ceremony and Ikebana and was closely tied to the community, well-loved. So it's a remarkable story, and we have two stories on that, one by Brett Campbell, which kind of talks about the background of the opera and this whole series, and one by Angela Allen that's a review of the opera. It has a lot of nice information. I think Angela did a really terrific job providing context for that. So I highly recommend both of those stories. It's a great series for Portland Opera, and great to know about this history in our state that hasn't been recognized before.
Well, there's also a feature out this week from writer and photographer KB Dixon with portraits of local creatives. And this at Oregon Arts Watch is part of a longer series. Is that right?
Yeah, KB does this remarkable series of portraits, and that it really deserves mention. He's been doing it for many, many years. KB has this warm, kind of soothing, quiet demeanor. He's very generous, and he builds trust with his subjects. And this particular series called The Cultural Landscape, the one that we have just published is Cultural Landscape number 17, so you can imagine how many we have published so far, in addition to other photo essays that Ken does. This particular series features portraits of talented people who have made significant contributions to the cultural landscape in the state. All the portraits are black and white, and they're very like authentic, honest snapshots of people. And so this whole series provides a contemporary snapshot of the people who make a lasting impact on our culture right now.
If our listeners are interested in finding out more about any of these stories that we've talked about, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yep, you can find out all these stories and more at orartswatch.org.
Well, Laura, thank you so much for taking the time to walk us through these things.
Thanks for having me, Althea. It's always great to talk to you.
That was Laura Grimes, the executive director of Oregon Arts Watch, talking with me about the latest from their publication on the local arts scene. More information is online at orartswatch.org. For KBOO News In Depth, I'm Althea Billings.
You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming online at kboo.fm.